Yeah, 12:40 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. Happy Saturday.
Thank you, Bill. Always good to join you again, as well as joining us tonight, our friend Clay O'Brien is here. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. We are sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Welcome back for another fun-filled week. That was Conor McGregor at the top of the show right there. Congratulations to him. How about that, man?
I'm not a huge UFC guy.
I'm a huge Conor McGregor guy, though. He's starting to grow on me.
He's Irish and he knocks people out. You're like, this guy's amazing.
He tells people he's going to knock him out.
That's the fun of it. I never thought I would get into the whole UFC stuff. I'm more of a boxing fan myself. But it's really starting to grow into... I think it's because of all the smack talking that goes down that I really enjoy more than the fight.
I think boxing has kind of been Mayweathered out a little bit, and people are kind of sick of it. They want something new.
I don't know. I would like to ask Pickle Joyce or Marty McGarry their 2 cents on that at some point.
That'd be great,
Because I think that boxing is due for a resurgence. They had it on...
I agree.
They had it on, was it NBC Sports had it on Saturday afternoons again this year?
I think. Oh, did they? I wasn't having...
There was an effort to get boxing back on sort of network TV to create an awareness of who the fighters were and try to get some interest back into that sport. I think it's only a matter of time before, you know, there's some stud that comes along that's very charismatic that takes away from, I guess, the barbaric, brute nature of the UFC style and brings back the finesse and art form of boxing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the two that really differentiate. I mean, that's the difference for me between boxing and UFC.
Well, I mean, these guys are martial artists. A lot of them do come from professional boxing backgrounds.
Well, yeah, I know.
So, you know, I mean, just for example, when McGregor was talking about when he knocked out Ortiz.
Aldo.
What was the guy's name he just knocked out?
Aldo. Jose Aldo.
It was a Brazilian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he knocked him out, he said he lunged too much. I saw him coming. I had warned him. I had studied his tape. I knew. And, I mean, he did. He caught him right on the jump.
It was a boxing move.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
but
I mean,
there is a definite art form to it. It's really fascinating to watch because even though it seems chaotic, it's very controlled and I don't know.
No, I would agree with you. I think that just from a spectator's point of view, at least like, you know, 15 years ago, if you had this stuff on TV, that have been like, wow, what?
You know? Well, it was, and that was the reaction, you know? And people kind of put it to the side.
Yeah, they used to have it. There used to be something, I think it was on the U or one
like
of the...
Royce Gracie and those guys.
Yeah, but Royce Gracie, they were like teams. Like, so every week there was like a battle. Like, I mean, it was like almost like a reality show, and they grabbed like 15 UFC fight, like 30 total guys were during the course of this season... They, you know, you'd see these guys would fight, every single one of them would fight each other at some point. It was almost like a tournament of champions.
Yeah. I think
so
because of that,
it's kind of like the Cobra Kai Dojo versus, Daniel LaRusso.
I think people put it in the same category as like wrestling off the bat.
Sweep the leg. Right. Because it was just, but I mean, it was real. These guys were actually really punching each other.
That was the only difference.
But then Vegas got into it. You know, I think that they realized that they saw that the sport of boxing wasn't drawing the, animalistic crowd that they're used to drawing into the arena. They wanted that crowd back, and UFC has pulled that echelon of being back into the casino. How lovely.
Yeah, but I don't, you know what I mean? Here's the thing about that sport now. I mean, it's like...
It's a moneymaker.
Well, it's that, but I mean, just, you know, I can't help but think of like Lionheart.
Mm-hmm. The Jean-Claude Van Damme film?
Which was awesome.
Yeah, where it was like a tournament of fighting.
And when you saw that movie, you're like, man, if there was only something like this I could watch that was real.
Where like, you know, they had the guy in the suit.
You want to watch the Kumite?
That's how spoiled we are.
Remember, Lionheart, there's like the guy with like the suit on and the chick with like the, you know, the diamond necklace. And like, is this for real? And
that guy has been in every fight movie since fight movies were around. You know, the rich guy who's got the hot babe on his shoulder, who's got the fighter who's supposed to win it all, right? I mean, that was Dolph Lundgren's character in Rocky IV, right? He's got the hot babe, and he's the Russian. And
sure.
I think the Dana White guy has a good head on his shoulders, and he's a lot better than the Don Kings we've had in the past.
Oh, surely.
And there's actually a fascinating story. He was in Boston, and he tried to start his UFC thing in Boston.
Dana White.
Yeah, in the early 90s. And some of Bulger's guys came into his gym and started demanding money from him.
Sure, of course.
So he left and went to Las Vegas and started it, and it became what it was.
Wow.
So he kind of has old Whitey to thank for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were just, I made a reference to Rocky, and that triggered a moment for me that, remember when our buddy Pat Barrett, he's a firefighter in Chicago now.
Yeah.
It was like sophomore year in college where Barrett tried to convince everybody that Rocky IV was the reason that the Cold War came to an end.
We sure.
Like, it was released after the Cold War was over. He was like, no, it wasn't. I'm adamant about this. I'm pretty sure.
There's a lot of people
that it contributed to the end of it.
There's a lot of people.
Pat, if you believe it, it's true.
If I can change, you can change. We all can change. That's my Stallone.
Yeah.
I think that movie could still help things.
It's an inspiring film.
I don't think they're
great
necessarily going to make any movies about, like, oh, who knows, you know? Like,
I think Kim Jong-un needs to see
Rocky
IV.
Like, can we get a young kid who comes from the grassroots of nowhere? He's going to fight ISIS in a ring, and
be awesome.
We're going to put that movie out.
Be sweet. You
know? It's actually not a bad idea.
We're going to get Survivor to do the soundtrack.
Sure.
And the Burning Heart. Yeah. And the Burning Heart. Just about
Train
two
in the desert.
Worlds.
Train yeah. in the desert.
Training
no.
in the desert. Yeah,
I think
sure.
it, no, in Rocky, is it Rocky 5 where he fights Dolph Lundgren?
Shoveling lots of sand.
No, it's 4.
4?
5's Tommy Gunn.
Okay, so if Tommy
four,
the Gun
4
Morrison,
is when
another
he's, Irishman.
4 is where he climbs this like dynamic mountain, enormous mountain in Siberia, and you're like, "Come on."
Yeah, how did Rocky get to Siberia so quick?
That was the best part of that movie. It's like, I don't care where I am, I can train anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
It was.
Hey, God bless the Morrison family this season.
For sure. Tommy Gunn is no longer with us.
He is not.
Wasn't he called the Duke? Tommy the Duke Morton? No, he was Tommy Gunn.
You're thinking of Frank Duke.
No, he was a relative.
The Frank Dukes is from Bloodsport. Yes.
So apparently Frank Dukes has made all that up.
D-U-X.
Tommy Machine Gun Morris.
That's it. Tommy the Machine Gun Morris.
He was
John Wayne's.
That's
nephew.
Why you're getting confused with the Duke. Yes, that's just correct.
Yeah.
Time. What else is going on? I mean, we other
nothing.
Than
Christmas season's upon us. The Conor McGregor stuff was very exciting to watch last week. More exciting for me is watching all the people, his fan base that is growing exponentially.
They said there was like 90% Irish people in the crowd there.
No, yeah, they did say. They said Vegas got taken over by Ireland pretty much.
See, now, why
now that's when I would want to be in Vegas.
That's when I want to be in Vegas,
that
too.
Had to be hilarious.
My name is Lucky Charm. I'm going to win the whole damn table here tonight. You know,
I'm not paying $1,000 for a bottle. No way.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, you said that Holly Holm, the girl who just beat Ronda Rousey, a lot of people are saying, Clay, you said to me that at a certain point, McGregor has become such a comic character. He is good. He backs up the his talk, that it's only a matter of time. Everybody loses at some point, that he will fall just like Ronda Rousey.
Sure.
And I guess that happens to everybody in UFC at some point.
Especially
has anyone ever
sport.
Retired, you know, undefeated in UFC? I don't think
I
so.
Don't know.
The guy
I
that McGregor beat hadn't lost in 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why it was really a big deal, because he was like a legend. He was like one of the top guys. So.
Now, I guess, Bill, you said that there's a funny clip where Holly Holm, the girl who beat Ronda Rousey recently, is now on the press junket. She's in Vegas giving a press conference.
And, like, the whole crowd is
from Irish people that are there from the McGregor fight.
Yeah, and they're all wearing, like, Irish flags over their shoulders and stuff. And they're going up to the, you know, like, they're asking her questions. But one guy serenades her.
Yeah, he sings a song to her.
I mean, it was just...
A guy from Ireland, of
course.
Yeah,
I mean, but then another guy...
He's in love with her.
Another guy gets up and he's like, Holly! Yeah. Maybe if I could find the clip. And he asks her if she would fight. Now, there's a professional female boxer in Ireland. I can't remember her name. She fought in the Olympics. She won the gold for Ireland.
Uh-huh.
I think she carried the torch for them in the last Olympics. I don't think she's part of the UFC game, but they asked.
But she's a full kind of a hero in Ireland.
Yeah,
right now,
they asked Holly Holm, you know, would you fight her? And Holly Holm says, well, we'd like to, you know, we tried to set that fight up in the past.
Yeah.
But we couldn't get anything, you know, moved forward. And then he says, well, why don't you come to Ireland, fight her in Croke Park? And then he says, you know, we'll whip your butt. You know,
he doesn't say butt, though. He goes,
no.
I think her name's Katie Taylor.
It is Katie Taylor. That's her, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he wants to fight. He asks her if she'll fight Katie Taylor in Ireland.
Shout out to my dad this week. It's his birthday. Happy birthday to Mike Houlihan.
67.
Pipes.
That's right. Pipes McGonagall for you Tapioca fans out there.
Uh-huh.
Anybody who wants to go watch that movie, good movie for the Christmas season. WTTW played that movie. That is the first independent film that I ever directed and was a part of. Tapioca. Rent that on DVD or Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah.
Good flick. And
are you getting more into the Christmas spirit now that we're getting closer? I mean, we're a week away.
Yeah, I am, and I'm starting to come down with a cold, which is making me a little bit crabby, and I shouldn't be. I'm starting to feel it. I went and got the Christmas tree over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
I do a real tree.
I know, you do a nice job.
It was pretty nice. It's a nice tree.
But you got all mom's old ornaments, though.
I know.
You got all the good stuff.
I know. Feels just like
when I get married someday or anything, I'm just going to have the stuff you get at Walmart.
You got to go to Target and get the new stuff. Clay, you do a real tree or a...
No, we do a fake.
I think it's we grilled him about this before on the show, actually.
We have?
Yeah, like two episodes ago, I think.
Leave me alone.
I've been hitting the head quite a bit.
No, we do fake. We tried the real. We got little kids, so it's just...
I know. And so do I, and my wife insisted that we get the real one again.
It does smell nice, the real one.
It does, but I'll tell you what I didn't enjoy was last night. I finally got it. It was pouring rain when I got it on Sunday last week. And... I was like, no, I'm not going to bring it in the house now. It'll just get all wet and sit in the living room. Like, so I got to let
it
sit
idea.
Out. Let it sit out for a day. No, it was fine. But when I got it in the stand, no joke, it was like it was like 10 inches too long.
Oh, no.
I got no saw or anything. I'm not a very, industrious.
I know that.
But you live next door. You live next door to an Irishman.
Did you call
Ollie?
Yeah,
no, yeah. I called Ollie, and I was like, hey, Ollie, what are you doing? I'm out driving to Uber. I said, do you have a saw at the house? No, I don't, but I could use one. The old lady gets a little bit restless sometimes. It'd be nice to have something like that around.
Yeah.
No, but he didn't have a saw. But I had to go, Johnny Minahan hooked me up with a saw. And it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm walking to my house, and I see like a couple of people, a couple of my neighbors looking at me, and I'm walking into the house with a saw.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, that can be read a few different ways. I said to my wife, I go, what am I doing? And then she goes, I said, I got to take the tree out of the stand and take it outside to saw this leg off. She goes, no, just do it in the living room and I'll vacuum it up with the shop vac. And I was like, dude, this took me like 40 minutes to do this. Like, it was like a little hacksaw and it was a lot of labor.
Can I give you a tip?
I was coughing, and my wife's like, are you okay? I was like, I'm going to have a heart attack. I've been chugging squares all day here.
It's terrible.
And now you got me sawing this tree open.
Here's a tip for next
Big
year.
Big time out of shape.
Yeah.
Next year, bring your stand to the Christmas tree place.
Yeah, they saw it right there for you, buddy.
They saw it.
Yeah, you know what happened with that? They did saw it. They saw it right there for you. No, they cut it for me there, and I went, and he goes, is that good? And I go, and it was pouring rain when I bought the tree.
He said, yeah, I got to go.
I go, yeah, that's good. I think I need a stand, too. I have a stand at home. All right, I knew I did, but there's a crack in it.
They were going to force you to buy a new one.
That's the shakedown with the tree market now, okay? Because originally I called my mother-in-law. She goes, why don't you go to Costco and get a tree? They're $30 at Costco. I said, okay, great. I'll call you Sunday. We'll go over there. I'll use your Costco card. I don't have a Costco card.
Should probably have one of those.
I need one. But anyway, she calls me and she goes, I just called Costco. They're out of trees. And I was like, oh, man. Now I got to go buy a tree from some...
Where'd you get it?
I got it at the lot outside of Portillo's.
I bought a tree there back in the... That's actually... They got some pretty good quality stuff.
$34.
Not bad.
And of course,
it's a good deal.
Of course, I said to my mother-in-law when I got there, she goes, where'd you get the tree? I said, I got it at Portillo's at that lot. And she goes, have the needles fallen off yet? Because I told her it was only $34. She was very proud of her deal. She didn't want her Costco deal being diminished anyway by the Portillo's people. And it's not Dick Portillo. He's not in the tree
business.
No,
those are independent tree farmers. Yeah,
they just have a little lot there.
Yeah.
So the guy goes, you need a stand? I go, how much is the stand?
$34.
$21.99 for the stand.
There you go.
And I go, and
there's the rub.
Oh, they're like disposable stands. They're plastic. Yeah. Like they're designed to break every year, so you get a new one.
Of course.
The new angle on the market.
Absolutely.
Remember those old like wrought iron Christmas tree stands? That's where it's at.
That's
you
got
to be able to find one of those.
That's why fake is good, because it's like an umbrella. You just pop it down, and it just pops up, and you're done. Are already on it.
Do you keep it decorated for all year? You just unplug it and
put
a garbage bag over it?
Yeah, the lights are on it all year. And then we just jam it in the crawl space and pop it out.
Done and
there
done.
There you go.
Not bad.
All right, well, this is the Hooli's Hooli. We're on 1240 AM. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
And we're back. That's Tom Gorman. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
12:40 a.m. This is the Hooli's Hooli. We were talking about Christmas and UFC and all kinds of stuff fun and holiday season-ish.
Yeah.
Before the commercial break. Clay O'Brien is joining us, as well as Brother Bill. You're always
That's
here.
That's right. I'm always here, buddy.
Clay, you had a death in the family. I want to just say my condolences on the passing of your aunt.
Yes, thank you. My Aunt Rosemary, my father's older sister, passed
That would have been Rosemary O'Brien, correct?
That's correct, yes. So she is reunited with her favorite brother now, and pay our respects this weekend.
Sure. Prayers go out to the O'Briens this holiday season.
So does that make your Uncle Pat the last surviving O'Brien out of your dad?
No,
Danny's
still around.
Oh, Danny's
right?
still,
Dan.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Christmas season's upon us. Do you have any favorite Christmas movies? I haven't noticed many of them being played on TV yet.
Well, they're going to be coming. Just wait after this weekend. But, I mean, yeah, I have a lot of favorite Christmas movies.
Now, we had a clip earlier. You had a clip, at least, that you were showing me from the movie Scrooge, starring Bill Murray in
American. Well, you know what the thing is? We were talking about... I think it was Bill Murray we were talking about maybe a couple weeks ago about how he's got the special on Netflix of A Very Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
So
I watched it.
You did?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good.
Yeah.
It's no Scrooged.
Yeah. Same writer, Mitch Glazer.
Well, that's what I want, you know, because it was the same writer. I figured, I'm going to see what this is like. It's entertaining, though. It's pretty good. It's kind of... It's very Bill Murray. I mean, it's like it has a lot of the element of kind of what Lost in Translation was like. And then, I mean, Scrooged. It's good. It's
right.
got like
the lounge singer bit that he did on SNL, that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And I understand that David Johansen makes an appearance in this one. He is, some people might know him as the former frontman of the New York Dolls. Yeah. Any
really?
Rock
I didn't know
fans
that.
Out there?
I didn't
Clay,
know
do you know who David Johansen is?
I do. He's in that Bill Murray's thing, huh?
Yeah, he is. And we had a clip from Scrooge that I wanted to play real quick. He plays the Ghost of Christmas Past. Is that who it is?
I think so,
one?
Yeah.
And he takes Frank, who Bill Murray plays.
It's Buster Poindexter.
Known as Buster Poindexter. Thank you, Mike.
That's what I was just going to say. And you just love calling him David Johansen.
Huh? I do, because it's his real name.
No relation to Scarlett Johansson, though.
No, none. Okay. I don't know. Don't quote me. You never know. Stranger things have happened in Hollywood. What was Buster Poindexter's big hit? Hot, hot, hot. Everything.
Yeah.
People feeling hot, hot, hot.
Then was on a Toyota commercial for a long time.
Yeah. Yuck.
Should I play the clip?
Yuck.
Should I just
play
it up
Yeah, let's
play
that clip, because David Johansen, Buster Poindexter, is the shining moment in Scrooged with Bill Murray. Let's play the clip.
Daddy, I have Santa for choo-choo.
Well, then go out and get a job and buy a choo-choo.
Ah, Earl, he's only 4 years old. All day long, I listen to people give excuses why they can't work. My back hurts. My legs ache. I'm only four. The sooner he learns that life isn't given to you on a silver platter, the better.
You know, we've all been doing everything we possibly can to find...
I'm going up. Baby, don't watch too much TV. It's bad for your eyes.
Okay, Mommy.
Merry Christmas, Frankie Angel.
Merry Christmas to you, Mama.
Niagara Falls, Frankie Angel.
I was touched by a gift. A four-year-old kid receives what in today's marketplace is a $40 or $50 piece of milk-fed veal.
Niagara Falls, Frankie.
Oh, yeah. It's a great scene. Does that remind you of anybody? That's there's something very inherently, I guess, even though the dad is something very Irish about that whole scene.
Oh, yeah.
the sort of, I remember when I was a kid and I didn't like the gift, you know, or something like that, is that obviously my dad, who had had a Shakespeare background, would always say, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth is an ungrateful child."
Yeah,
you know,
uh-huh.
And he'd say it over and over and over again, and it would always be like, you know, and it was for a gift that would be like, God, do you remember the year, one year, my grandma used to get us the greatest presents, right? My grandma Carney.
Sure.
And she lived in upstate New York, a little town, a little mill town called Ilion, a factory town well known for the Remington Arms, and that's where my mother grew up. And I was always very excited because around every Christmas time, you'd get a giant box would come from UPS, right?
Yeah.
And it would be filled with presents, you know, one for me and one for Bill and one for my mom and dad. And then my aunts and uncles would, from upstate would put stuff in there.
Yeah.
Always very excited to get the present. And grandma's present was always something very cool. And then one year, I'll never forget it. I was probably like, how old were we? Like 12, maybe? Anyway, I open up the gift and... it's a brass framed picture of my mom when she was like 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she bought me a picture of my mom for Christmas, and I was like, "What is this?" You know?
Yeah. Is that the worst gift you've ever gotten?
It wouldn't say it was like a bad gift.
She had
it was a bad gift for a kid.
She had 16 grandchildren, and we were probably more than that.
Oh yeah.
She had like 30. How many first cousins do we have on that side?
Too many to count, really, on the hand on my hand right now.
So, I mean, the poor woman was trying to buy gifts for everybody, and by the time you got to be about 12 years old, you weren't getting, I mean, you were getting kind of stuff that she could be like, well, okay, this is what's in my budget. He's too old now. The younger kids all got the cool stuff.
Yeah, but I remember grandma, like, when mom called her up, and she was like, "Mom, what are you doing? You got the boys a picture of my high school graduation picture framed for them? Like, they're not going to be into that." And she goes, "Oh, they'll want that someday. That's going to be something they'll remember you by."
She's right. I still have the
picture. No, absolutely. I still do have it. But and now it's kind of nice. You know, there's my mom when she was 17 years old. I didn't know her yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little bit on the off side of things. I remember Dad told me once that his brother used to wrap up Bic pens for everybody. Everybody got a Bic pen.
Uh-huh.
Bill, what's the worst gift you've ever gotten?
The worst gift I've ever gotten? Oh, gosh. I mean, no gift is a worst gift.
Yeah,
it's
no
a bad
thing.
Gift. You know,
right.
There's no such thing as somebody gives you a gift. You know, it's like, that's great. Man, I can remember. And I was just thinking about this on the car ride over here because not about one of my worst gifts is that how kids react at a young age. You know, like... your wife was just texting me, you know, because I said, "Oh, I'm going to get Shire this for
my
Christmas."
My wife was texting you?
Yeah.
About what?
Yeah. About Christmas gifts. That would be my sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, we're trying to coordinate because we're kind of getting a gift. You know, I'm getting the big thing and then she's getting the smaller things to go with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I started thinking, I was going, well, I hope that when she sits down on Christmas and I give her the gift, she knows
when she,
this is
that
it.
She knows that it came from Uncle Bill.
Well, that, but this is it. Like, I don't have any more to give. This is this thing.
Well,
this thing was a pretty penny, and that's it.
Uh huh.
And as kids, you don't really realize that sometimes. You'll get, like, the Nintendo, and then they'll be like, you'll be like, where's the rest of the gifts?
Yeah,
like,
I got no games.
And they'll be like, that's it. And you'd be like, what? You know, go into a corner and pout and be angry about Santa or whatever, you know?
Nintendo.
The worst gift I ever got was my uncles are in the biking community.
Yes, we know
they hang out with a lot of bikers. And so my uncle got me a Harley Davidson alarm clock.
Nice.
And did it go vroom, vroom, to wake you up? It made the noise of a bike?
And not only did that, but it had screeching tires, too.
Yeah.
But it was so loud.
Yeah.
That the first day it went off, I jumped out of bed and I thought bomber planes were dropping bombs.
I love it.
In my neighborhood.
I need something like that.
It was insane. And it was big. It was probably like 2 feet tall.
Do you still have it?
No. I think I chucked it after that first day. I'm like, nah, I'm not waking up to this ever again.
Who gave it to you? Is that your Uncle Mike, probably?
Yeah, I can't remember.
You know, for our generation, we bring that up. You said Nintendo. Probably the most iconic gift that millennials received in their childhood years.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll never forget when we got it. What was it, like 1987? Probably the big gray box showed up, and we all got a little dumber for it.
The Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah, Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and all the stuff that came along with it.
Now it's too complicated. They should have left it at that.
You know what? I agree with you. I don't know. The gaming community, that's a big industry now, but... Fenwick High School graduate, Kevin Jakubowski, had worked on, he's like a year older than us, grew up out in Batavia, St. Charles. I remember he was a good buddy of Marty Madden's. So he moved out to L.A. a couple years ago, and he was working as a writer's assistant and a producer on like South Park and a couple other shows. But he has written a book that I started perusing through. Got a copy of it. It's called 8-Bit Christmas.
Cool.
Highly suggested to anybody out there. And it's sort of a modern retelling of, it's the Christmas story.
Right.
For millennials, for our generation.
Oh, I'd love to read this.
Instead of the whole story being centralized around getting a Red Ryder BB gun, per se, the entire story tells the story of a family that gets their first Nintendo 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Game on.
I believe that he had a little bit of, he was talking to movie studios, and there's been some options taken out on it. It sounds like
that was the American story for a few years. It was like Nintendo was
the American story. A nice Japanese box that came to your house and diverted attention and caused children to beat each other up.
Remember the movie The Wizard?
Yeah, with Fred Savage.
That was based on Nintendo.
It was.
Movies based on Nintendo. Go!
There's been quite a few. Yeah, The Wizard. That was when The Wizard was a movie starring Fred Savage that was centralized around the Nintendo release of something called the Power Glove. Do you remember the Power Glove?
Of course.
I believe you had the Power Glove.
I did have the Power Glove. It was almost close to impossible to have. I don't think it did anything.
And it was designed to use during Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I think it was only compatible for one game.
You could use that, then there was the gun for Duck Hunter.
Duck Hunt, yes.
But the best was Game Genie. Because that didn't come out until like 4 years later.
Yes.
And Game Genie allowed you to play, like, you could fight Tyson. Like, you could skip like every level with Game Genie.
You could cheat.
Yeah, you could cheat, essentially. So you could fight like Tyson and, you know, 100 times until you could actually beat him, rather than having to get through the gauntlet, you know?
And, no, Tyson could hit you a thousand times and you'd never fall down.
Same thing with, like, Zelda. You could get to, like, the last level, like, every time you played, it was, like, last level every time.
If you try and buy a Nintendo right now, brand new on eBay, they're, like, $650.
I'm sure they are, yeah. Like, the original box, like, people rubbing alcohol swabs on the game, banging on the box. I bought a used one, probably for, like...
$60.
Nice.
Right.
And it's got its problems, but it does the job. I mean, I'm playing Tecmo.
Do you still? Yeah, Tecmo.
Playing Tecmo once every 2-3 months, I'd say. I'd sit down and actually
play every two, three months, I'd be playing it like 20 times a week.
I'm too busy. Well, once my little boy figures it out.
Yeah, you're going to like introduce it to Brendan.
I want to show you how good Bo Jackson is in this game.
You got to tell him all about Bo.
He's unbelievable.
I was a Tecmo 2 guy. Thurman Sherman, baby. The Buffalo Bills that year.
I played with the Giants in that game. I was always playing with Phil Simms, Dave Meggett, touchdown Stephen Baker. Lots of touchdown Maker Baker.
I actually remember you and Dennis Murray up in your bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And Norton was there. And
yep.
you were playing Tecmo Bowl and like John Ufferdale, I think, was playing for the Miami Dolphins.
Yes,
and he recovered a fumble. And he took it back to the house for like a game winner. I think Murray won the game against you on an Ufferdale fumble.
Yes, he did.
And then he jumped up in celebration and then found a pair of your tighty whities and put them on Norton's head.
This is the proper celebration.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that.
Good old grand
school
memories.
That was Tecmo Bowl.
I don't think Norton ever forgot are called, it.
He never recovered.
What a nice person.
Those are called Tecmo Bowl memories.
Tecmo Bowl memories, yeah.
That should be a book.
Do you remember the code to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out to fight Tyson?
No,
I
but
I
remember.
Do.
I 007.
373-5963.
Close. 007-737-9564.
Oh.
You know, do you remember
I'll
the
have to try
do you remember
later.
The
you might have had the piston Honda.
Could have been piston Honda too. Could have been soda pop.
Do you remember the code for Contra? Up, oh. down, up, down, left, right. Wait, it was
up, up, down, up, was up, up, down, down, left, right,
A, B,
select,
start. There it is.
Yeah, these were the codes. These were Game Genie codes. We're talking
Do you think
about,
the kids today would be able to remember all this kind of stuff?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is that, like, the Nintendo Wii and all that stuff that has, like, come out and PlayStation, God, what are they on now? Like, PlayStation 5?
Six.
Four, I believe.
Everything is so reality-based that, like, it's... I don't think they would even dig the old Nintendo. They'd be like, remember how archaic we thought, like, Atari was and things like that? Once the, even just Nintendo came out in, like, 1987, we were like, what is Pong or Bong?
Yeah,
or
I think you'd be surprised. I think there's more younger kids into that than you'd think, which is rare, but I think there's probably a nice little bunch of them. There's actually a great documentary about... a Nintendo game they made, which was based on E.T.
Really?
And they claim... No, actually, it was an Atari game.
Right.
And they claim that this game's release eventually ruined Atari and made them go out of business because this game was so bad.
Wow.
That they took all the games, there's a million of them, and they buried them in the desert in New Mexico or something. Or California.
They took all the games and buried
so
them in the
desert. So then there was this pilgrimage because they were digging up the site. And,
yeah.
Because it was like this big myth, and this movie is based off it. It's really fascinating.
You know, you just got me thinking now because you mentioned E.T. and but
that's a extraterrestrial movie, everybody.
But I'm thinking about, you know, you're thinking about Christmas time, and I'm in Walmarts and stuff like that all day.
Yeah.
And I walked into a Meijer this morning, and I walked into three different Walmarts today. And the one constant thing that I kept seeing now is, and obviously this movie, came out. We're airing on Saturday, so the release. I think the LA release was premiere was what Tuesday night, and then the world premiere for everyone was last night. And this is
in Great Britain. Are you talking of Star Wars?
I'm talking of Star Wars. There is Star Wars stuff everywhere,
dude. So
and I'm like, do these kids even get I started thinking about it. I'm like, because I was like,
they get it.
Yeah, they get it
because their parents.
Pat, should I get Mikey a lightsaber?
Sure, why not?
Because their Star Wars parents have been pounding it in their heads since they were
That's
born.
That's what
like,
it is.
You must be like Luke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of Star Wars geeks that never died.
But the franchising,
well, it's just never went away.
It just reminds me of, like around Christmas time, and I thought, you think about Nintendo, you think about what's been a phenomenon, say, of a millennial's lifetime that has been consistent through... Christmas time, what were always toys that you saw? And Star Wars has always
been a toy.
We were born in 1980. I think Return of the Jedi came out in 1980.
Okay, yeah.
So when you think about it, it's like, wow, our whole lifetime
Of
Star Wars.
Of merchandising.
On Star Wars. It's unbelievable.
I think I read that Disney put $2 billion behind this marketing campaign.
They're going to get it back because it's
100 million,
everywhere.
100 million tickets in pre-sales. $100 million in pre-sale tickets.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing, though, about this Star Wars stuff. Here's what I kept trying to figure out.
1/20th of the way there.
I did see that the guy in Channel 9, Dean.
Dean Richards,
Give it an A+.
Everybody is.
Somebody just gave it 3 stars.
It's because J.J. Abrams decided to just
do it like
deviate away from sort of, I guess, what was Lucas's company, Industrial Light and Magic, is Skywalker Studios or Skywalker Ranch, where he was that's where like he was making the newer Phantom Menace type films and all the things that like were
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah,
this guy went back to the original cast and crew.
But he also went back to like the original film stock, and the sort of aesthetic look of the film sort of feels the same as the originals and nothing.
So if you're if you have no idea what Star Wars is and you saw it, you'd be into it immediately.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if anybody saw J.J. Abrams' film Super 8, which was an excellent film probably about 5 or 6 years ago it came out, which was kind of his homage to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So he's kind of, he's very good at what he does, and who knows, this Star Wars, I'm actually
I want to see it. I got to admit.
And I'm not a Star Wars dork.
I'm not either. I've never seen a full
Hold
Star
on a second.
Wars,
I love
You've never seen a full Star Wars?
No.
Just look up in the sky. What's wrong with you? Ba-dum-bum.
Return of the Jedi is pretty cool. You know, the original.
There's no Irish people in that movie, though.
No, sorry. But, you know, thinking about, you know, we were going back to the
Are
franchising.
There any Irish people in Star Wars?
The franchising is, you know, the commercialization, you know. It's
Obi-Wan.
Just, you think about Christmas Alec and you Guinness. Think about the, you He's know, the commercialization of all of it.
Yeah.
And then you think about, you know, Star Wars. So I was, you know, I went to an event, a toy drive, and, you know, I think I was talking about a couple weeks ago on the air, where I was in the Walmart, and I was like, okay, I got to buy these kids toys.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, 2 for a boy and 2 for a girl, and I was like, my budget was like $80, you know? And I'm like looking, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at stuff for boys, and I'm going, there was Star Wars stuff everywhere, and I'm like, where are the footballs? Where are the basketballs? You know, I mean, that's I want to buy. I wanted to get a gift that a kid's gonna go out and like exercise and play with, and maybe change his life. You know, doing like rather than sitting around with a plastic, you know, figure of you know Jabba the Hutt.
Hey, I bought you guys an octagon for the backyard, but, so the boys can beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah,
UFC's doing well.
So, but I kept thinking, are these kids gonna know what this is? And you know what? I think they do. I think they probably will know what it is.
Yeah, oh, for sure they will.
So
yeah, just Star Wars for the boys, Frozen for the girls. You can't miss.
Fine. If you want to get your kid something good, get him a basketball, a football. Get him something like a really nice
one. Get him a shovel.
A shovel.
Get him a few pounds of veal. You know, that'll work out too.
There you go. Yeah.
Get him Conor McGregor's highlight film.
Yeah, there you go.
God, this is how you be tough.
This is the Hoolies Hoolie. We're on 1240 AM. It's a little bit of a Christmas episode. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after these short messages.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJules. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hoolies Hoolie or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in 4 states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
Come into my office, Mr. Finnegan. How can I help you?
Doctor, you gotta help me. I'm having panic attacks, terrible anxiety.
You just need some hooliganism.
Hooliganism? What is that, some new medicine?
It's an elixir for what ails you, Mr. Finnegan.
Is it a pill? Do you swallow it?
It'll relax you. Rick Hogan of WGN says it oozes Chicago. He also says it's fantastic.
But what the heck is it?
It's the new book by Mike Houlihan. Everyone's talking about it. Frank West of the Irish American News says it's filled with human warmth and you should read it when you need a good laugh.
Hooliganism, the book? Hey, my wife said you were a doctor.
I am a doctor, and hooliganism is my prescription. The New World said Southsiders would rank it up with the Book of Kells.
What about my irregularity?
Read Hooliganism. You'll find it very moving.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
I'm a psychiatrist, Mr. Finnegan, and I can tell what you need is a nice dose of hooliganism.
But my wife said you had her undress and you examined her.
Yes, she appears to be very healthy, Mr. Finnegan. Oh, nurse...
Hooliganism is the new book by Mike Houlihan. You can purchase it online at www.mikehoolihan.com or at any of Chicago's finer Irish gift shops.
Nurse, will the doctor be giving me a prescription for hooliganism?
Do you have insurance, Mr. Finnegan?
I've been hooliganed.
And we're back, 1240 a.m. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. Don't get hooliganed.
I was going to say, have you been hooliganed before?
Every day.
Uh-huh.
You know what, though? That is a good gift for Christmas time, actually. A nice little...
Great read.
As Dad puts it, it's great bathroom reading material.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Most important place to read.
That's right.
My favorite place to read.
Don't want to sit on the pot too long, though. The doctor tells you not to do that. Don't read on the pot.
That's right.
Big White Sox news. Santa came
a little
Cubs, early.
Well, the Cubs got their man in Jason Hayward.
They did.
And they look pretty loaded for next year.
Yeah, they do.
Got to admit, they're going to be a very good baseball team.
Let me say something right now.
Yeah.
I said it last week.
I
listen.
Okay.
The Cubs will not win the World Series.
Okay. All right. There you go. So Clay O'Brien's made his prediction. This is twice we've heard it on the show now. I think he'll continue to make the prediction all the way up until opening day.
Until they win it.
yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, the
it's
White
been good for 90 years.
The White Sox made a big move today.
Yeah.
And they got
Todd Frazier.
Yeah, from the Cincinnati Reds. It was a 3-team deal. So
I was stunned to see that, actually.
Well, they traded away two pretty big prospects.
And who were those prospects, Bill? It was
they got rid of the second baseman, Micah Johnson, the kid that they had drafted out of Indiana. They loved him. He was like a, he was a projected 40 steal base, 40 steals a year, and maybe bat you 270, play a decent second base. And then the other guy was Trace Thompson, who, I think down the road they were looking at him being a 30-30 guy.
Yeah.
Lots of speed, big center fielder. They loved him.
Yep.
So they just went from Chicago to Cincinnati?
Well, it's not every day that you get a two-time All-Star, a Gold Glove third baseman type player, a guy who, this guy Frazier hit 35 home runs last year.
Yeah.
He's still young.
Did he win the home run derby as well?
Yeah, he did. I think the way that the Sox looked at it and they felt, there's a lot of young talent now in the Sox organization that, just as the Cubs did a couple years ago where they're bringing these guys up, that they felt that they could afford to make this trade. We'll find out next year.
We'll see if it puts any butts in the seats.
Well, I think the biggest thing for the White Sox was that they wanted to really hold on to Jose Quintana to solidify their rotation. And they kept feeling that, that's what the asking price was for a guy like Frazier.
What's the Dodgers' role in all this?
Okay, so the Dodgers, they're the ones, they received Micah Johnson and Trace Thompson.
Right.
They're
already loaded anyway.
Yeah, the Dodgers send three prospects to Cincinnati. But I think the cool thing for, a guy like Trace Thompson, his brother plays in Golden State. Michael Thompson's on the Golden State Warriors.
Really?
Their father's Michael Thompson, who played
Clay Thompson, you mean?
Clay Thompson plays for the Warriors. Their father is Michael Thompson, who played for the Lakers. So this Thompson kid's from L.A. He gets to go back. He gets to play for the Dodgers. I don't think, for him... I imagine it was a heck of a Christmas gift for him. He gets a phone call and they say, hey, we love you here in this organization, but we just traded you to your hometown. Are you going to be mad? He was probably ecstatic.
Right.
He only played, I think he played 1-2 years in the minors in the Sox organization and then played, the second half of the year up with the ball to club. So
we're sending you from Chicago to LA in the middle of the winter.
Congratulations. Well, I think he already lives out there. Now, as far as the Micah Johnson, I don't know, if he's going to get a chance to play every day out there. Who knows? But we got our everyday third baseman.
Yep.
Sox still have questions. They have this guy, Mike Ault, who was a prospect a couple years ago, and the Cubs had him in their organization. He was supposed to be a stud.
I'm going to say something right now.
Yeah.
The Sox will have a better record than the Cubs.
Oh, boy. That's a heck of a prediction.
That is a bold prediction. Actually, 3 years ago, people would have been like, of course.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Okay, you never know. I mean, this now you
got to spice it up.
You have a good, you know. I know as much as people are Cub fans, and we've been praising them. They had their playoffs, but hey, you know what? We got a pretty good team. I think
time to get pumped for the White Sox again. Only 3 months away.
Yeah, you know, the other thing was I think that a lot of people felt the Sox were going to trade away Avisail Garcia this year.
Yeah.
And I think that they looked at the ceiling on him and felt that, you know, he was coming. He played this year off of a serious injury that he played the year before and then came back maybe a little too early because he was trying to push for a playoff push in that year. And, you know, I think they project him as, you know, a guy who's going to play a decent right field and you know, hit 25 home runs, 30 home runs a year. So they figure if they could get him and Frazier and keep him with Abreu, that gives you almost 100 plus home runs in your lineup. And,
whoa,
oh boy.
Look at this.
Is this a guest?
Oh, come on.
Whoa,
in.
I haven't seen you in a while.
It's Irish Terry Derry, hey. Stuntman. What the hell brings you down here? What are you doing?
I'm going to talk into this thing right here.
Okay. What are you doing at the station here?
I thought I heard something. I'm in the back here, drywall in the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought I heard you talking. I came through.
I haven't seen you. I mean, we did a show, like, what was it, a little over, almost a year ago it's been. So it's been about a year
since
we had on.
Right around when the fella was doing the stunts with the buildings downtown.
Yeah, it was the Nick Willenda.
Mr. Willenda.
Yes, that's right. That's
How's the stunt business going off the Craigslist lately?
You know, it's been all right. It's been a bit spotty, if you will. I'm doing mostly children's birthday parties, but I'm scaring the crap out of everybody, so just jumping over stuff.
How about this Conor McGregor, man?
Ah, good old Conor, yes. That might be my next stunt.
Really? What do you mean? Yeah. How so?
I want a piece of him.
Really? You think you could take him?
I think so.
What part of Ireland is he from, McGregor?
It doesn't matter.
No? Doesn't
Sending
matter.
Him back where he's from. He's from Dublin, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's a Dubliner indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sound like The Rock all of a sudden.
It doesn't
matter.
It doesn't. No, I seen what he did there to the Aldo fella. It was quick. It was too quick. You know, it's like, come on.
Too quick? No such thing as a fight that's too quick, I suppose.
When you're fighting me, there is.
So as a stunt guy and you kind of have to telegraph your falls and stuff like that, you don't telegraph punches when you're fighting, do you?
No, you just let him fly.
Okay.
You let him fly, and you hope you hit something.
Yeah.
What's the worst beating? Have you taken any, like, I mean, I'm sure you've hit the pavement a few times from some stunts.
Indeed.
Have you ever, do you get in a lot of physical altercations?
I try not to, you know, but sometimes when, you know, I see someone trying to pull a stunt that I've already done or something like that, I got to put them in check. So, you know, yeah, one time I was, you know, I saw a fella, and he was doing this stunt where you jump out of a plane, and you're playing the trombone at the same time. And he tried to do it, and I said, hey, fella, I waited for him to land, obviously. And then I beat the crap out of him with the trombone.
Where did you watch the Aldo McGregor fight?
You know, I watched it at a buddy of mine's house, and we got all riled up. I ended up busting the TV and a couple other things in the house.
You know, it's kind of funny that you were talking about that. A friend of mine sent me a text on Saturday night, Justin O'Brien, said, hey, you know of any bars around here, Forest Park, where he goes, that would have the fight? And I went, no, but I'm sure there's plenty up on the northwest side that have it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you got up or you went to the bathroom or something, you probably missed the whole thing. So.
Yeah, how long did it last? Like
13 seconds.
13 seconds.
13, that's it.
You think that you can take McGregor?
Put him down in 5.
Let me ask something. Yeah. When obviously, is there? I don't know what your training regimen looks like when you're preparing for Craigslist challenge stunts.
Yeah. I usually work with the cattle.
You work with cattle. Oh, okay.
I lift the cattle. I try to, you know, antagonize the cattle.
So
to
what
chase
do you do?
Me.
Go to a Wisconsin dairy farm and work?
I have my own cattle.
Oh. Oh wow.
Keep it in my basement.
It's wow. A big basement.
So that you see, so you're just sitting around.
It's a bungalow. You just.
You're just wrestling.
Wrestling whatever I can
things.
These days.
Farm animals. So that's the training regimen if you were to get ready for somebody like Conor McGregor?
I don't need much training. I train every day. I train just by being alive.
What do you got on tap for Christmas? Anything new?
Christmas, heading back home.
Really?
Hi.
Any gifts for how's the wife doing? I know you met her on Craigslist and you know you were looking for a guitar.
Yeah,
you wound up with a wife, right?
Right. Well, yeah, the guitar's doing great. Just got it restrung, actually.
Oh, nice.
Me and the wife, we went separate ways.
Oh, no, not again. Oh,
yes.
How many wives is this for you now?
Too many to count. But one less gift, I know that.
No, it's nice to see that the station's doing a little work. Any more work planned in the station here? What do you? Somebody got lost their temper and put.
Yeah, you got the water staying on your ceiling there, so I cut it out to put the new piece in. I modded it, I just sanded it and priming it now. So, had a little time to spare, but I need someone to give me a check for the work. So if you can round that up, that'd be great.
Yeah,
and if you don't, I'll show you what I'm going to do to Connor tonight.
Santa Claus, is that, I'm not real familiar, obviously Santa Claus is big worldwide. How do the Irish feel about Santa Claus?
We like Santa.
Yeah.
We do, as long as he's good to us, you know. But who doesn't like him? I mean, a guy comes and gives you free stuff, huh? Can you not like that?
Do you think ISIS is probably not real big on Santa?
No, they probably don't like him, but you know, there's probably that one fella that really does like him.
Yeah.
And he's just crying every night, can't wait to go home, but he ain't got... Guess what? He ain't getting there.
He ain't going to get Santa.
Oh, he's going to get a Russian missile for Christmas.
All right. Well, Terry Derry, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, yeah. Well. Good to see you, Terry.
Yep. Good to see you, boys. I'm going to go check on this paint here.
All right. Take care. How about that, Irish Terry Derry?
You never know who you'll run into over on Milwaukee Avenue.
You never know. Mid-White Sox conversation. He pops
in. I know.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back after these short messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
And we're back, 12:40 a.m. This has been the Hoolies Hooli.
Yeah, that's Tom Gorman. He's a good guy.
That's right.
Give him a call. I know that the holidays can be tough, and sometimes there is tragedy and accidents, and I think that Tom Gorman could help you out.
He absolutely can. Bill, what's on tap with Wurtz? Is it still real busy in the liquor business, running up all the way up until Christmas?
It's insanity. It's insanity. I mean, it's just the whole, I think that, you know, everyone is trying to, it's the end of our fiscal year and everyone's trying to do a great job.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, you know, as a sales guy, and I think anybody that's probably a vendor, you know, that has to go into a lot of these corporate chains and sell, you know, some of these products are going to move, you know, everyone, there's a sense of nerves and there's a sense of, you know, everybody wants to be really good at their job at the same time because they feel that just the focus is just it's magnified by like 10 times during this time of year. I mean, everything, you know, everybody's on top of everybody to make sure that it doesn't go off without a hit, you know, without a hitch. And, you know, I think that, you know, you're going into accounts and I'm going, you got to have this. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Believe me, look at these, what your numbers were last year. Some of them are saying no, and I'm going, well, you know, you're going to give me a phone call 2 days before Christmas. You're going to make my life difficult. Let's just try to make it easier right now.
That's kind of what we're in the same situation.
It's going to make your life difficult, too. I mean, you don't want to get this now. Do you want to take in 140 cases on Christmas Eve and have to throw it up to the shelf? No, you're going to want to do that now and continually just do short orders
until then to replenish so that on Christmas Eve, you're not running your butt off and your shoppers can go in there and consume more.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible, yeah. Isn't it?
Get their Zima.
But Zima. Yeah, you know, I think after the first of the year for me, you know, we're going to be doing a company merger. It'll be a breath of fresh air to experience a new beginning at my company to see what's going to be going on
it's
there.
It's always nice to have a new beginning.
I think it'll be a bit of also a relaxing attitude for a week or so just because, you know, coming out of this crazy rush the last 3 months. October, November, and December are the busiest months in all of the liquor industry. So
yeah.
January will kind of probably slow up for us and everybody can get their – they're, you know, they're ducks in a row again and get our, you know, our heads focused on what we need to do to build business for the next year.
Yeah. We are winding our show down here. I want to remind everybody but to tune in to the next show after us. Bill, what's the title of that show?
That's The Crack with Cooney and Keene.
That's right. That's also sponsored by Hibernian Transmedia. I encourage all our listeners to stick around.
Yeah, and they broadcast out of the
Irish American Heritage Center.
That's right. The Fifth Province?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Fifth Province Pub.
Yeah. So get over there and see them while they're doing their show.
They record it live.
Yeah.
I would encourage everybody to check that out one of these nights or just stick around after the show and give it a listen. Want to remind everybody, Toys for Tots has told everybody that they're running short. Get over to your local bar or restaurant or wherever they have a Toys for Tots box this week while you can before it's too late. And, it's never too late to put a toy in that box until over with, even though the toy, I think the bike ride is coming up this weekend. But keep at it. We did mention we put a little something from Scrooge on earlier. That was a little clip we paid from that film.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a great song. It's something that I want everybody else to do during this holiday season. And let's put a little love in your heart. Let's do that. I'm wishing you all a very, very Merry Christmas. God bless and Happy New Year.